75, Section 3, World Events. As you read, look for the following. What happened on September 11, 2001? How the War on Terrorism got its name. Why Operation Iraqi Freedom was thought to be important to the safety of the United States. Vocabulary terms: terrorist, hijack. As this book was being written, American soldiers were fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. They were fighting against people and groups who said they wanted to harm the United States and had indeed attacked our country. September 11, 2001. On September 11, 2001, terrorists attacked the United States. Terrorists are people who use violence and the fear of violence to achieve their goals. Terrorists had often attacked Americans who were living, working, or traveling in foreign countries, but this time they attacked Americans in our own country. Page 276. They hijacked, took control away from the pilots of, 4 passenger airplanes. The hijackers flew 2 of the planes into buildings at the World Trade Center in New York City, 1 plane hitting each of the 2 towers. The damage and fire caused by the crashes resulted in the collapse of the towers, killing nearly 3,000 people. The dead included workers trapped in the buildings, firefighters and police officers trying to save them, people on the ground outside the buildings, and the passengers and crew of the 2 airplanes. A 3rd hijacked airplane crashed into the Pentagon near Washington, D.C. The Pentagon is a 5-sided building containing the offices of the U.S. Department of Defense. Many government workers in the Pentagon and all the people on the airplane died. The 4th hijacked airplane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. It was flying toward Washington. The passengers on the airplane were able to fight the terrorist and keep the plane from reaching the nation's capital. Everyone on the airplane died, but the bravery of the passengers probably saved many lives. The War on Terrorism. Americans were sad and upset over the terrible events of September 11, 2001. They were also angry with Al-Qaeda, pronounced Al-Qaeda, the terrorist group that planned and carried out the attacks. The United States knew that Al-Qaeda and its leaders were hiding in Afghanistan, a country in the Middle East. President George W. Bush asked Congress to give him the power to attack terrorist groups. With the help of some of its allies, the United States attacked Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and overthrew, forced to leave, the government that had helped the terrorist. The United States and its allies then helped a new government come to power. The terrorists were forced to flee into the mountains, but they continued to attack the new government and the Allied soldiers. In the meantime, Congress passed a number of laws, and the government made many new rules in hopes of better protecting the United States from future terrorist attacks. The new laws included ways to make airports and flying safer. If you had to take off your shoes when you went through security at an airport, then you have seen some of the new rules in effect. Congress also created the Department of Homeland Security to oversee the work of the different government agencies that protect the United States from terrorism and that respond to natural disasters, such as Hurricane Katrina in 2005. President Bush and his advisors believed that another threat to the United States and its allies was the country of Iraq and its leader, the dictator Saddam Hussein. They believed that Hussein was helping terrorists and was making powerful weapons that could be used to attack the Allies. The United States and its allies had fought and defeated Iraq in 1991, after Iraq had invaded neighboring Kuwait. In March 2003, the United States and its allies attacked Iraq, defeated its army, and forced Hussein out of power. The war was called Operation Iraqi Freedom. Many of the people of Iraq were happy that Hussein was no longer in power and welcomed the Allies. But Iraq is a nation made up of groups of people who have different religious beliefs. Members of these groups soon started to fight each other over who would control Iraq. They also attacked the American and other Allied soldiers. Terrorists in Iraq also began attacking the Allied soldiers and the Iraqi people. Meanwhile, the United States and its allies were working to help the Iraqi people form a new government, rebuild their country, and train a new Iraqi army to take over for the Allies. Because of the fighting between the different groups in Iraq, however, it often seemed that there would never be peace in Iraq. Among the American soldiers sent to fight in Iraq and Afghanistan are many from Missouri, including members of the Missouri National Guard and Missouri Air National Guard. Some of the soldiers from Missouri have been sent to the war more than once. Some soldiers from Missouri are also among those who have died or who have been wounded in the war. Did you know? Many of the soldiers now in the U.S. Army received their basic training at Fort Leonard Wood, near Waynesville in south-central Missouri. The military base was built in World War II and has been a major training center for new soldiers ever since. It also provides training for military police. Do you remember? Number 1. What happened on September 11, 2001? Number 2. How did Americans react to the events of September 11, 2001? Page 278. Missouri Places. The Gateway Arch. The idea for a memorial to President Thomas Jefferson and the pioneers who settled the Louisiana Territory first arose in 1933. City leaders in St. Louis proposed a memorial as a way to clean up the abandoned and decaying warehouses along the riverfront and to put people to work during the Great Depression. The federal government adopted the project as a national park 2 years later. From the beginning, the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial had to overcome a number of problems. Those problems included finding money to pay for it, lawsuits from the owners of the buildings to be torn down, and different ideas of what the memorial should be like. Demolition work began in October 1939, just a few weeks after World War II began in Europe. The war delayed the project for several years. After the war, a contest was held to choose a design for the memorial. The winner, announced in 1948, was Michigan architect Eero Saarinen. His design for a gateway arch was the unanimous choice of the judges. But it took 11 more years before the National Park Service obtained enough funding. The final cost was $13 million and prepared the site on the riverfront for construction. Groundbreaking was held on June 23, 1959. The first concrete foundation for the legs was poured in 1962. Water from the Columbia River in Oregon was part of the concrete mix. The shape of the gateway arch is a special type of curve. Suppose you take a long chain, hold one end in each hand, and stretch your arms. Make sure the distance between your hands is the same as the distance from your hands to the lowest part of the chain. The shape of the hanging chain is the same shape as the arch, and the distance between the legs of the arch is 630 feet, the same as the distance from the ground to the top of the arch. The legs are made of stainless steel triangles stacked on top of each other, and the first section of triangles was put into place in February 1963. To build the arch, construction engineers had to come up with new ways to lift the sections and workers high off the ground. They put together two cranes that could crawl up each leg as it grew. Finally, on the morning of October 28, 1965, the last section was squeezed into the space between the tops of the two legs. The first visitors went to the top in July 1967. The Jefferson National Expansion Memorial was officially dedicated on May 25, 1968. Visitors ride to the top of the arch in trams that go up and down inside the legs. A tram is like an elevator and a train combined. Each tram car, or capsule, holds 5 people. The capsules are pulled up and lowered down by cables, and they rotate to remain upright as the tram follows the curve of the leg. At the top are 16 windows on each side to look out on the scene below. On a clear day, visitors can see for 30 miles. Out one side is the city of St. Louis. Out the other side is the Mississippi River and Illinois. About 6,400 people a day take the 3-minute ride to the top. Beneath the arch, under the tree-shaded park, is a visitor center where you enter the trams. Here, too, are the Museum of Westford Expansion and a theater. The museum has displays and artifacts about the history of the lands that make up the Louisiana Purchase. The theater shows an award-winning film about the construction of the arch. When the contest for the design of the memorial was announced, the sponsors, those who provided support for its construction, said they wanted a monument that would attract people from all around the world and that would be instantly recognized as a symbol of St. Louis, of Missouri, and of the West. The arch has succeeded in being such a symbol. It is the most popular tourist attraction in Missouri and one of the most visited national park monuments in the United States. Page 280, Chapter Review. Summary. This chapter covered the struggles to make real the dreams and hopes of freedom that so many Missourians fought and even died for in World War II. You read about how whites and blacks were segregated and how blacks were discriminated against because of racism. You also read how people fought for civil rights for everyone using the courts and demonstrations. This chapter also covered the world leadership role the United States took on after World War II, and how Missourians and other Americans fought in 2 wars in countries where freedom was threatened. You also read how Missourians contributed to the war effort back home and played a major role in the exploration of space. The last part of the chapter told you about the September 11, 2001, terrorist attacks on the United States, and how they led to a war in Afghanistan and new laws and rules that are supposed to make the country safer from terrorists. You also read how the war on terrorism spread to Iraq when the United States and its allies attacked that country and overthrew the dictator Saddam Hussein. Remember, define the following terms. 1. Boycott. 2. Civil rights. 3. Cold War. 4. Communist. 5. Democratic. 6. Hijack. 7. Integrate. 8. Labor Union. 9. Satellite. 10. Sit-in. 11. Terrorist. Understand. Answer the following questions in complete sentences. Number 1. What were the Jim Crow laws? Number 2. How did things change for African Americans after World War II? Number 3. Name at least 2 civil rights you are guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. Number 4. What did the Civil Rights Act of 1964 do to end discrimination? Number 5. What did the Missouri Human Rights Commission do to help put an end to discrimination? Number 6. Why was the American economy so strong after World War II? Number 7. What role did Missourians play in space exploration? Number 8. Because of September 11, 2001, what did the U.S. government do to protect U.S. citizens? Number 9. What is Operation Iraqi Freedom? Page 281. Think about it. Number 1. What do you think is meant by the phrase separate but equal? Explain. Number 2. What effect do you think the Jim Crow laws in the state had on the African American community? Number 3. How has the war on terrorism affected you and your family? Write about it. Number 1. President Roosevelt said there were 4 freedoms. What were they? In a paragraph or 2, explain how they affect you today. Number 2. In a short paragraph, compare the 2 types of governments mentioned in this chapter. Which form of government do you think is best and why? Use the Internet. Visit www.americanrhetoric.com/speeches/mlkihaveadream.htm to listen to or read Dr. Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech. Discuss with your classmates the dreams that Dr. King had for all Americans. Number 2. Visit www.winstonchurchill.org/i4a/pages/index.cfm?paged=429 to read the speech. Discuss with your classmates the importance of Winston Churchill's famous Iron Curtain speech. Work together. Number 1. With a partner or a small group, research and create a timeline of important events in desegregation. Start with the passing of the Jim Crow laws and end with the date when the first African American was admitted to the University of Missouri. Number 2. With a partner, make a list of countries that supported communism and another list of those countries that supported democracy after World War II. On a world map, label the countries and color the communist-supporting countries one color and the democratic countries a different color.